Have your wonderful seat. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. I want us to start with a scripture in the book of, I think it should be 1 Kings. There's a scripture I want us to start with. Most of us believe in the thing called luck. But I want you to see that there is something that happens. You see, what you consider as luck, it's an action that has taken place in the spirit. And what you consider as luck is a result of that action that you called luck. There is no such thing as someone being lucky. And there's no such thing as someone having a bad luck. Everything can be changed in the place of prayer. Every single thing can be changed in the place of prayer. Because I want us to take another look on prayer. And I want us to look at the story of Ahab. Before I begin to teach, I just want to open our eyes to something. Go to the book of 1 Kings 22. We read from verse 19. Give me NIV. 1 Kings 22 from verse 19. Micah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Now Ahab was a king. But it is time for that king to die. But in order for him to die, something has to be orchestrated to make that thing a reality. And this is the meeting that happened in heaven. The Bible said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. The Lord was sitting on a throne and all the host of the heavens were standing around him in his left hand side and his right hand side. Next scripture. Next verse, please. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth? Who will entice him? That means that Ahab was not preparing to go to that war. You know, when you see the death of Ahab, you say he was just unfortunate. Because he actually hid himself like he was not a king. He allowed someone else to act like the king. Then he acted like just a male warrior. But something happened. An arrow shot him. And the Bible recorded that just by chance the arrow took place. But before that thing happened, before that action happened, something happened in the spirit. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth and going to his death there? Look at it. And going to his death. This is what is happening in the realm of the spirit already. Ahab was still alive on earth. But something is taking place in the realm of the spirit. The death of Ahab was being decided in the realm of the spirit. One suggested, one of the beings in heaven suggested, and another that. Next verse. Finally, a spirit came forward. That means every spirit was suggesting. This is what we can do to make it happen. This is what we can say to make it happen. This is how we can orchestrate it to make it happen. Then finally, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. A spirit said that he will entice, or I will not use he. I don't know whether it is a she or a. So a spirit came forward and said that it or he or she will entice Ahab. A spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him to go to that war. Because if he did not go to that war, he will not die. Next verse. By what means the Lord asked? I don't know if you have seen this scripture with me. By what means the Lord asked? I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So the prophet will see and they will prophesy according to what they are seeing, believing that what they are seeing is the truth, whereas it was the spirit of a lie. He said that in order for me to get Ahab to fight, I will go to the prophet that he trusts the most to listen to them. So I will become a lying spirit and I will prophesy something that Ahab should go, and he should go in this way. Sometimes the voice that speaks in your head are not yours. It's the enemy's voice. That car accident that you said it just happened by mistake. Sometimes it didn't happen by mistake. Sometimes it was orchestrated already in the spirit. That is why someone will just hit a little stone and all of a sudden has a swollen leg. And that swollen leg will last for a year. The same stone that you have been hitting while you were a child. Then how come, what was so special about that stone? Because a force, something has to orchestrate something to bring something into the reality. Something must happen. And this is how fate of men are decided in the place of the spirit, in the place of spirit. An altar call was made in the spirit. And the Lord said, who? How do we do this? And the spirit came and said, I will be a lying spirit. And I will enter into the mouth of the prophets. He said, you will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. So even the spirit will not succeed until the Lord gives his approval. Aye. No. Is this one in your Bible? He said, you will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. If the Lord did not permit it, that spirit will not succeed. Next verse. So now the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has declared disaster for you. And the prophet said, I saw you going to the war. You will come back successfully. And the other prophet, he called him. The prophet said, I saw you winning the war. I saw it. Everybody was seeing the prophecy. Seven prophets were saying the same thing. God, assurance. Assurance. And instead, there is a condition. You have to go like a member. You must not go with your kingly garments or attire. So no. And see what happens to Ahab. Kalamira na shisha prelebira. Take us to verse 30. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in this guise, but you will wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battles. Next verse. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great, except the king of Israel. So their target, you see, the prophecy looks like it was real. Because the prophet said, do not enter as yourself. Do not go as the king, because their target will be the king. But the vision was not revealed to them that they will later discover that who was riding the chariot was not the king. Do not fight with anyone. You see the command the other king gave to his people. He said, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. Next verse. When the chariot commander saw, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. When they saw him, they say, this is the king of Israel. They turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, you know, when every arrow is facing you, or God says, hey, not me. Obokwamubu king. Next verse. The chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. Next verse. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel. You call it bad luck. The Bible said that. But someone drew his bow at random. You call it, the man that killed him would have called it luck. The Bible said that he was not aiming at anyone. He only drew the bow. And that little bow, you see, when it is time to die, it doesn't matter where it hits you. Even if that stone had hit Goliath on the leg, Goliath would still die. The thing is that before the death of Goliath, something has happened in the spirit. This is the power of intercession. This is the power of prayer. This is why I tell you that there's no such thing as luck. But someone threw his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the section of his armor. That was how the king died. Why did that arrow do not kill any other person? Why didn't he kill the horse? Why didn't he kill any other person? It was directed to the king. Things are projected in the spirit. A man who does not know how to pray and cannot pray will fall under calamity that he knows, does not expect or will not even imagine. For 1 year now, I've been so healthy. I've been taking water. I've been taking coconut oil or coconut water, whatever. I've been taking it, applying coconut oil on my skin. I've been very careful what I'm eating. Until one day, the doctor will come and say that just because you step on your thigh, your body is allergic to thigh. Doctors, they will see anything. I want you to carry this scripture in your mind before we start teaching. Because if you don't carry this thing in your mind, you will not understand where I will be going to. We were talking about prayer and the importance of prayer. We're talking about that when you feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you don't think you should pray, pray. When it doesn't make sense to pray, pray. When it makes sense to pray, pray. When things are not going your way, pray. When things are going your way, pray more. There is never a time to feel like there is no need for prayer. Men ought to always pray. It's an instruction given to all men to pray. Time is perfect for prayer. God cannot just appear into the earth realm and begin to intervene with the things of men until a man invites him. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 115 verse 16 NIV, the highest heavens belongs to the Lord. The highest of all heavens, mean there are first, there are second, of course. He said the highest heavens. Hello. I don't know if you saw the S. You saw it. Did you see it? The highest what? Heavens. That means he's not just dwelling in only one. Hey, Jesus. Scripture. The highest heavens belongs to the Lord. But the earth, there is one earth. He didn't say the earth. There is one. In case you think you die this one and appear in another world. You know, some people say, when I come back in the next world, there is one earth. When you die out of it, you are gone. You are goner. A fan of FC Gunners. The highest heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth has he given to what? To man, or to the sons of man, or to the sons of men. Which means that if God must operate on this earth, he must find a man. So if God must help you in your career, he must find a man. If God must help you in your business, he must find a man. If God must intervene in the politics that have been played in the realm of the spirit over your family, a man must stand. If you must invoke a demon spirit, a man must invoke that spirit. A witch, a spirit, you know, I told you witch is a spirit. A human being is not a witch, it's a spirit. Witch is a spirit, like the way you have the Holy Ghost, you receive the Holy Ghost. That is how people receive witch. Then they become wizard. You understand? Which itself is a spirit that one receives. So, as we Christians have the Holy Ghost, the devil have what they call witch. As we have the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, that's how they have what they call witchcraft. You didn't. As you have the Holy Bible, they have their own witchcraft Bible. Does that make sense? So, if an SMO wants to kill you, what the SMO must do is that he has to go to a place. Atuga. And something will appear. And he will blow it. That's all. If you must stand in the gap of prayer, you must come to a place and start your own. You will conjure your own too.
Hey. Alamira Mara no Sabra.
Man of God, I'm dead though. My business is not going. Do something. Man of God was not the lamb that was slain for you. Prayer. I was lucky. I passed my jump. You might be shocked. You might be shocked you failed. If someone's prayer that actually helped you to God, that score. Things are orchestrated in the spirit. So God in him. It's so, you see, It's so paramount that you understand this thing, because of this same reason was why Jesus did not just appear in the heavens and say, I am the Son of Man. Crucify me so that I will save the earth. Because of this same principle was why he had to come through Mary, be given birth, and walk this earth for 30 years of suffering before he went into his ordination. Because of this principle. Because if he had broken this principle, they would have said that he's not a faithful God. Or he's not a just God. The heavens will obey what he's saying, but there will be a doubt in his faithfulness. Praise the Lord Jesus. God is limited in a way until you pray. Let's look at the book of Acts 12, verse 5. Start from verse 1. Book of Acts from verse 1. We're going to read. The book of Acts 12, verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Next verse. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. All right. You know James now. You know about James. James, John. You know James was put to death. Next verse. I want you to follow me. When he saw that displeased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of the unleavened bread. Next verse. So, he caught James and killed James. And, you know, he was thinking that people would persecute him. People would say, why, riot? No. People were happy that he killed James. That, oh, with all the miracles and all the tongue that James was speaking. Oh, James, so I'm a chenwa. So he said, okay, let's do the same thing. He touched Peter, the stone, the rock in which God will build his foundation. In case you don't know, Peter would have died. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guards by four squad of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after Passover. He wanted to just, you see, that trial was nonsense. He doesn't listen to the trial. After the trial, he would have beheaded him. Next verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church. No. It was not the church, but the spirit being. Is that what is there? But the spirit being did something. No. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Prayer can set your loved one that is in prison free. You didn't hear this one. Prayer can reduce that sentence of life imprisonment. Prayer can. There is no, the judge has said that he is not. No. Prayer can. Remember the testimony of a brother that was arrested early in the morning and called me on the phone. Said, man of God, I'm about to be deported. I said, what happened? He said, I was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they are deporting me this morning. This morning, he called me around 1. So I don't know what time is it over there in the country. They're supposed to deport him the next few hours. I said, let us pray. We prayed about, I think, a minute or 30 seconds. I said, you won't be deported. And the next time, they left him and deported others. It's prayer. If we hadn't prayed, that young man would be coming back to Nigeria. He might be in the church now. I ask, man of God, why didn't you pray? Prayer. But there's something about this kind of prayer. He said, earnestly, give me King James. This same version, give me King James. He said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Without ceasing, not the one you just pray, Akiba, 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 you are gone. No. And they son ye can they son yoko. In my case, they wukoko. Do you know, in my case, they wukoko. When we are small, when you cook on firewood, if you put the wood, you know, our mothers will tell us sometimes not to use matches, that we are wasting matches. So they might give you one stick of match. If you just light it, you will guide it with your life. The moment you catch fire, that's when we learned how to blow. You will blow, and we blow with our hands on the ground and our head close to the fire. Oh, Mara Mira Kasise. And when you are blowing the fire, you don't go to watch film. Ah, that's the season. Without season. You don't go to watch. You sit down there. When the fire is doing somehow, you come back. Oh, if that fire quench, you might go to another compound to catch fire. Some of them might not understand this thing. They were born during the time of gas cooker and stove. How many of you remember how we used to go to our neighbors that have fire and use zinc? Bang, bang. We'll catch coals. It's not fire. We'll pack coals. Coals of fire. Then we'll carry it and be walking. And while you walk, you are blowing it. Then you get back home. Some would have died. Only two will survive. You put it and find paper. And, oh, Mali Imrano Sisa. We begin to stir it up. That is what it means without season. That means after you are done blowing the fire, you sit down small. Then after a while, you come back again and blow more. Until it is done. So I heard the proverb that said that since the birds have learned to fly without perching, the hunters have learned to shoot without missing. So if they are I don't know if you are here with me. And the Bible says something. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, not for themselves. They had to pray for God to intervene. Give me NIV back. And give me verse 6. So Peter was kept in prison. He said the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And sentries stood guards of the entrance. I mean, there are those ones so two were with him. And there are other standing guards before the gate. And you know, on the tunnel, there's another one that is standing before the tunnel that you enter to where he is. Next verse. Suddenly. Hala, somebody say suddenly. I didn't hear you. If you don't say suddenly, it will not come to you. Say suddenly. Suddenly. You see, before that thing you call, that suddenly is what you call luck. I just win. You just see me for road, just dash me. Just dash you. My God, you are nobody to be dashed. Something happened. Something happened that orchestrated that move. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone into the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up. The angel did not speak to the chain. We get up, he said, and the chain fell off. No, the angel commanded the chains to fall. No. The presence of that angel. And in case you don't know, that angel actually looked like Peter. Oh, no, go and read your Bible. You want us to read it? You want to see it? I'm talking about prayer here. But let me just divert some more. That angel looked like Peter. And pretty much sounds like Peter. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Next verse. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. Oh, God was without clothes. Put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter was thinking he was on a vision. He said, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. The angel told him. Next verse. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was real. Was really happening. He thought he was seeing the vision. So he was used to seeing visions. So whenever you see a vision, it's as real as the reality of what you are seeing. So when you dream and you wake up and say, I had a vision, shut up. This will help you understand how vision is. Some of you will dream and call it vision so that it will sound like you are deep in the spirit. Say, man of God, I had a vision. I say, hold on. Is it vision or dream? When did you have it? At night. Okay. So how did it happen? No. If vision come, you remember. Because it's like real life. Dreams, you forget some and remember some. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Next verse. They passed the first and second guards. The first and second guards. And came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. When an answer comes, when you pray and God answers, he doesn't just open one door, he shoots it all open. But before that will happen, a prayer without season must be made. And man of God, I don't feel like praying. No, you don't feel it, you pray. Man of God, I don't feel like fasting. You don't feel it, you fast. They passed the first gate, the second guard, and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Just left. Next verse. I'm reading more so that you see the part I'm telling you about. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." Next verse. When this has dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many had gathered and were what? Praying. So, you see, you, when you pray, you see, they were praying, even when the answer came, they were still praying. They were praying, even, oh my God. You, when you get lazy of praying, you say, my faith is covering it. It's not your faith. You know you were lazy. It was not your faith. Some of us are like that. We pray, kala. You say, my faith, I have faith. Even when the Holy Ghost is saying, pray more, you say, no. God can answer 5 minutes prayer. No. The Bible said that a man was arrested and a church gathered to pray. And a boy was kidnapped and the church gathered to pray. This is not the prayer of the man of God or the woman of God. This is the collective prayer that was made on his behalf. And carelessly, you saw him at a location. You think you just carelessly saw him at the location? Lord, it is me. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So they were still praying. Next verse. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rohat came to answer the door. Now see what happened there. The servant came. Next verse. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back. She didn't open the door. She left the door and went to tell people they were praying. She was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." Now listen, next verse. "You are out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. So when the angel come, they could knock. Ah! They said it could be his angel. The angel does not just appear, it knocks. Because why would they say Peter is knocking? And you are saying it could be his angel. The child said, "I heard the voice of Peter," and they said it could be his angel. That the mommy is knocking, it could be the angel of mommy knocking. So their encounter with angels were so real that they could even fellowship and touch with angels. And we are on a better covenant. Meditate on that. Let's go back to prayer. The day I will teach you on angels, you understand the scripture. If prayer was not made God would not have intervened. God would watch Peter die the same way he watched James die. Not because he wanted James to die, but because the church never prayed for James. But when Peter was captured, they said, if we let this happen, Peter will die. That is the essence of why you must have group cell. You must have groups that you pray with. You must have 3 to 4 friends that you can call on the phone for prayers. Brother, I'm in danger. I need prayer. That's why you must have a family, a church that is your family, that you can test there is danger, sir. And everybody will gather. And that answer will come. Because if there is no one to pray, there is no God to answer. Don't pray and say you are tired of praying. There is no space for getting tired. Even when you are tired, pray. Sometimes mommy will come into the house and see me lying on the bed. While I'm lying, you just be hearing, I'm tired. The body is tired, but the mouth will pray. Sometimes we just sleep off and we turn. You hear, Kali Pere Pere Susa. Sleep again. Every turn brings a tongue. Every turning in the bed should bring a tongue. If you turn this way, release it. Parambele. Go back to your sleep. When you turn again, Kala Prala. When you get up from the bed, at all time pray. You might not know what you are praying for. You might not understand why you are praying it. But tomorrow, the victory of that prayer will answer. And something happened in the book of Acts. Give me Acts 10 verse 1. Acts 10 verse 1. There was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as an Italian regiment. Next verse. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. But he was not a Christian. He was not saved. But he was praying. He understood the mystery of prayer, of speaking to a being. Next verse. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctively saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Next verse. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He called the angel Lord, because whatever you don't understand, you call Lord. He asked, the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. It was his prayer that brought forth his saving. Next verse. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter, so that you and your family will be saved. The prayer you pray today can be the reason why your uncle will give his life to Christ. The prayer you made today will be the reason why in 3 years' time salvation will come to your father. The prayers you made today will be the reason why your unborn children, when they are giving birth to on this earth, they walk this earth easily. They will say, Mommy, I'm lucky. Mommy, I'm lucky. You tell them it is not luck. I sowed the seed some years ago. Delete everything that is called luck in your head. There is no such thing as luck. Everything is orchestrated in the spirit through prayers. That favor you thought that came your way, you might have prayed it for yourself. Or one day you were in the church, they were praying in tongues. It somehow touched you and opened the door for you. Nothing just happened. Everything is projected. Man of God, no one is coming to buy my business. My business is not moving. Pray. Man of God, I pray though. I'm tired. Never stop praying until the cloud is filled. It's when the cloud is filled that the rains will pour. If it is not filled, there will not be downpour. You will pray till it is filled, and the heavens will force its hand for it to pour down. You don't pray 5 minutes a day and say you are tired. You've not even started the journey. The Bible said, and men ought always to pray. It didn't say, and men should try to pray. Even when Jesus, a God amongst men, came to earth, he prayed, "Who are you?" One of the reasons why the Holy Ghost was given to you is so that you know how to pray. One of the essence of why the Holy Ghost was given to you is so that you know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you can't know how to hear the voice of God. Because it's in prayer that channels of the Spirit are opened up. Not the one you do, you pray only on Sundays or on Tuesdays. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I'm giving you scriptures to back you up. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. This is why you should pray. God cannot do anything except to pray. He said, "I look for a man among them who would build up the walls and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none." Your prayers are pillars in heaven. Pillars in the realm of the spirit. There are some beings that will come. They will appear before your children. And they will try to lay a hand on your children. And something will hit their hands back. And they say, "What is happening? What's happening? Why can't we kill this small boy?" No, 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 no. A prayer has been made over that boy's head. Not the one you pray one day and leave the child for 7 years. The devil will manipulate the destiny of that child. Constant prayer, because the devil will not stop. If you don't pray, the world, the earth will choose your fate for you. And keep in mind that the earth, the Bible says something, that the devil is the god of this earth. Does it mean that there was no man in the land that God could choose? No. There was no one that could pray. My family people, I'm the one trying, you know. Nobody's praying. Keep praying. Stop giving stupid excuses. And only me, they try. Keep praying. You are useless if you can't pray. You are giving excuses. You know, for my family, I'm the only one. Let me carry them. Oga, it's your responsibility. Carry it. Will I carry them for you? Prayer is not a choice. It's a must. You don't have choice when it comes to prayer. Whenever you come to the gathering of brethren like this, and people are praying, my brother, die in that prayer. Because when we are together praying, Kai, what is happening in heaven? That is what they call, in quote, suddenly happening. If you don't listen to this full message, you don't understand why I said this word. There's what they call suddenly when you pray. And suddenly. That time you are walking, that you marched on a businessman. You marched him, you didn't even know. And he said, "Sister, you stepped on me." You said, "Oh, I'm sorry." You see, that match, you looked well, you saw there was no leg. But when you stretch your leg to match, his leg was stretched. There was something connecting you together. Alamilama. He didn't say, "It was by luck, oh. I went to buy shawarma and I met him shockingly. We just met each other coincidentally. We now exchanged number. We now got married." Shut up. It's not luck. It's not coincidence. You prayed someday and say, "Ask God, Father, show me the person." That was the prayer being answered there. Make another one. He said, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the walls and stand before me in the gap." In the gap and before the land. See, now it's in the gap on behalf of the land. "I would not have destroyed it, but I found none." There was no one he could see. Thank God we had Ezekiel. In every family, God is looking for a man. A man or a woman. Now, a man in this context has to do with both sex, male and female. In every city, in every state, in every village, in every country, God is looking for men who can stand in the place of prayer. Men who can stand and pray. Let me share you the major things that weakens Christians in prayer. There are a few major things that weaken Christians in their place of prayer. Number one, not knowing what to pray. Have you ever gotten to that place where you come before God to pray and you don't know what to pray? Don't be honest. If you have, raise up your hand. You've gotten before the presence of God and you don't know what to pray for. It has happened to me too. That is why we have the book of Romans 8 verse 26. Give me that scripture. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. Are you seeing it? So whenever you come to that situation where you don't know what you ought to pray, that this is why it was given to you. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. With groans that words cannot express. Or with groanings that cannot be uttered. So whenever you come before God and you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. A lady, you saw the testimony we posted. A lady said that she was watching our prayer section. And while she was watching the prayer section, most of you might have seen it. It was posted this morning. So while she was watching the prayer section, that something left the TV, the camera, the screen she was watching from the phone and entered her, and she began to pray. So she couldn't stop praying. Say her whole body was shaking. She was screaming and shouting and praying in the spirit. From watching through phone, fire, the spirit of prayer entered somebody. From just watching through the phone, the spirit of prayer entered an individual. The same way you watch Telemundo and nonsense, romantic, stupid spirit enters your body. That's how someone was watching something. That's why I tell you that whatever you watch, you will become. Whatever you gaze your eyes upon, you will become. She was watching program where we are doing prayer. I was praying with a woman that called me for prayers. She had some family issues and I was praying. I said, woman, why don't you pray in tongues? She said, I pray very well, but I don't pray in tongues. I said, it is fine. As I begin to pray in tongues now, you start praying in tongues. I began to pray in tongues. As I was praying in tongues, this woman caught fire. And as she was praying in tongues, I was understanding what she was saying. I now told her, I said, you are talking about your foundation. I said, you said in your foundation there is this and this and this. She said, yes, so how do you know? I said, you told me through tongues. She said, but how can I say, madam, step by step. You want, collect this one, immediately. Grow for one first. You want to start the speak, the interpreting, calm down. And that interpretation made her to understand that what she was speaking was tongue. What you watch, you become. What you listen to, more often you become. If you keep listening to you run kiti kete katakata, one day you dream where you are running kiti kete kataka. I'm telling you. That's why you see yourself running unnecessarily in the dream. It's that song. I don't even know how to sing it again. So one of the things that weakens a Christian prayer is that they don't know what to pray. Number two, not knowing what to ask because they are already successful. Some of you right now, I tell you the truth and I kid you not. If they give you 50 million naira in your account, 1 week you don't have a prayer point. The first thing you will do is to go and lodge in a hotel. I don't know why when money comes to people, the first thing they think is hotel. When a huge amount of money comes to people's account, the first thing they think is hotel. Is it to cool your head? And they will now stay there. 50 million enters your account now, you will not know. Sometimes people cannot pray because they are successful. They are asking when they are poor. Hey, have you seen a poor man pray? Have you seen a poor man pray? You, every power, leg, No, I'm not saying that those that pray like that are poor people. I'm just, I'm helping you out. But when money comes, they come late to church. Church is ending by 6. Their car will park by 5:55. They will not come in. They will go to the altar. Thank you, 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 thank you,
Thank you.
Pastor, the next time you see them pray well is when one of their containers catch fire. They come to the altar. All my containers are saved. One of the things that weaken Christians in prayer is when they are so when they are successful. Some people, when they are successful, they feel there is no need for prayer. When you are at the top is when you pray the most. The same way you pray when you were poor is the same way you pray when you are at the top. Because at that top, everyone wants you to fall. At that top, everyone is seeing your height. At that top, you are a house that is built on a rock that cannot be hidden. So everyone gazes upon you. These things weaken us. The third thing that weakens us is when we think God is too busy to hear our prayers. We have people that believe that God takes time to pray, to answer. And I ask you a question. If God takes time to answer, what happened to the time of Hezekiah? Hezekiah was sentenced to death by God. And in less than 5 minutes, God increased his life. Removed that death sentence and increased his life. So how do you tell me that God was hard to hear him? Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. How do you say that God is slow in answering? God is never slow. It's your system that makes it look slow. Praise the Lord Jesus. Not knowing what to ask God because we think he's busy. 1 John 5 verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5 verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God is never too busy. You see, you think God is like a man that processes what you are saying. You think God is like a man that has to check the email. Has Brother Michael send any message? Has Brother Kelechi send any message? No, it doesn't work that way. We think there is so much letter given to God that it takes God turn after turn. No, we as a human being are limited, not God. God can process every single word. If 707 times, billion people are praying at the same time, God can process all of them at once. He is God, he's not a man. It's because you have limited your own God. Your understanding about God is the type you watch in Nigerian movie. That someone will suffer for 6 months before God will answer the prayer. Repent from such movies. A movie is 3 hours. 2 hours, 59 minutes, the actor will suffer. Then the moment you just get light, film will end. Then I say, I want to confess. After he confesses, film will finish. And the person will just say, I forgive you. Then they forgive like that too. You watch a movie where the pastor go throw power. Amadi go catch him. Throw back. The pastor go do, Jesus. No. We are not age grade. We are not mates. Your presence can cast that demon. We saw it in the scripture. Hi. Imara ka isi kwado ija. Those kind of movies don't help. That's why I watch good Christian movies, not the type Nigerians are writing. They make God look weak. All of their films, the pastors are poor. That's why our fathers, if you say you want to be a pastor, our fathers are saying, no, come out, you want to go and be poor. How can serving God be poor? Because it's only in Nigerian movies you see a pastor wearing the trousers jump up. And the only thing they know how to do is to wave the Bible off. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's not like that in reality. Some of the battles you see, yes, it's true. But we don't exchange. You throw a native doctor of power, he throws you back. Then pastor will go back and come out and shout, Jesus. No, it doesn't work. That is slow motion. It doesn't work like that. Move for the pastor at the Chanana. We are putting doctor. It doesn't work like that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Does it make sense? Learn. So God is not so busy that he doesn't hear you. I was teaching, I don't know, I think I was teaching the foundational class people. I told them that the Holy Ghost, the same way the Holy Ghost is in Jesus, is the same way he is in you. The same way he is in me. It is not part of him that is in me. It is the fullness, the whole sum of him that is in me. So I carry the fullness of him in me. Same measure. Same Holy Ghost. This is not, it's not part of his body that is in me. It's him. Can you imagine? There was an illustration a man of God gave. He said, if you say you don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost, how can you explain? So if your wife is, if your wife come back home and the, from the waist up is not at home, is in the market, and the waist down comes back, won't you run? So how can you say the Father will give us something that is half? Then we can't become like Jesus. It's impossible to become like Jesus. So we have the fullness of him in us. Not small, not quantity, not 70%. The 100% of the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. The 100% of him lives inside of you. If there are 700 times 700 times 700 billion persons on earth, the Holy Ghost will fill inside of them as the same person, quantified and fulfilled in them. Any part of him you don't manifest is the part of me you don't understand yet. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Lack of burden. One of the reasons that people are not able to pray. One of the reasons why people feel weakness in prayer. Lack of burden. No burden for soul. No hunger for prayer. You don't know what you want to pray for. You don't have any burden. The moment you notice that you don't have burden for prayer, there is a problem with you. You are wounded in the spirit already. Let me tell you something. Any day, if you go 3 days without prayer, your life is in danger. I assure you, if you go 3 days without prayer, your life is in danger. That Paul and Nature says, so he said he's so busy that he doesn't see time for prayer. So what he does is that while he is walking, he is praying. Wigglesworth said that he has never prayed for 1 hour, but there is no hour that you don't see him praying. How do you explain it? That he has never prayed for an hour, but there is no hour you don't see him praying. And that's why you call him almost the father of the Pentecost. Through him, so many dimensions of God came into existence. He doesn't read any other paper except the Bible. He doesn't read newspaper. He doesn't watch TV. He doesn't do anything. I'm not saying you should not watch TV. But these men were sold out in prayer. Daddy, Pastor David Obueli said something. He said, even in his toilet, there are scriptures on the wall. Sometimes he spent 2 hours, 1 hour, 30 minutes in his toilet. So while he is pooping, he's reading scriptures. You have to keep knowing. You have to keep knowing your reality. Because as you are in that toilet, there are beings that are waiting for you to come outside. They will slay you. Hi, Imara. Imara Kasi Kwado. What are these things? If you understand the warfare that is going on in the realm of the spirit, even as I'm speaking to you right now, you will pray. That's why I tell you, even when you don't feel it, pray more. Sometimes, one of the best prayers is when you don't feel it. You now come. Before you know it, and energy began to come. Where are you drawing it from? You don't pray because you feel it. While you are listening to sermons, one of the things that we grow up to, me and my friend Reginald, when we sit down and you are preaching, we are praying in tongues. The Bible says, as he spoke unto me, the Spirit entered me. When a man is preaching and you are blasting in tongues, you are drawing energy from that man. You don't know these things. God gave you one spiritual principle. That's why you don't see us sit down and listen to sermons without praying. If you see us listening to sermons, you hear, even while we are listening to sermons on the phone or in the car, you'll be hearing, as you are listening, you are absorbing, downloading that man nature in you. It doesn't just work like that. Sometimes we are done with ministration, we take the person's sermon. We play the person's sermon. It is loud as the message is playing. And the Holy Ghost will begin to open us mysteries in what that man is saying that we never heard. When you play that message again, you won't hear that mystery. Was it not that the apostle Joshua Selman said something? That he was looking for a particular message. He couldn't find it. So while he was sleeping, in the sleep, he had a dream. In that dream, he went to his laptop and played the message and listened to the whole hours of that message and woke up remembering the whole message. Listen, let me give you this as bonus. I was studying the scriptures and I began to notice what Jesus does. Whenever Jesus, there are places where Jesus prayed long hours prayers. And there are times he prayed short prayers. When Jesus sees demons, he doesn't pray long prayers. Your spirit, leave the body. But when temptation comes, Jesus goes and prays for long hours. You need prayer to break out of temptations. The Bible said, and the Spirit of the living God led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. In that 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was praying and fasting. And the devil came and he overcame him. When the time came that Jesus was about to die, he went to the place of prayer and was praying. He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass by. But be it not my will, but your will. And he came out and said, Peter, can't you people tarry with me for at least an hour? And he went back again and began to pray again. When he was done, he came back and said, can't you stay with me for an hour? He went back again praying. Came back, they were still sleeping. He was praying. Whenever trials come, you pray. When he wanted to choose the 12 disciples, he went to the place of prayer. When you want to make important decisions of your life, you pray long hours. Matthew 4 from verse 1. When the temptation came, see what Jesus did. This is just bonus. I'm giving you bonus. Matthew 4 from verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Next verse. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Prayer. Mark 1:35. At night time, Jesus goes to pray. Long hours. Mark 1 verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Next verse, please. When he wants to choose his disciples, Luke 4 verse 12. Luke 6 verse 12. When he wanted to choose his disciples, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. Next verse. when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he has designated apostles. Are you seeing the secret? Whenever you want to take important decisions, marriage, don't come and meet man of God. I have 3 people that want to marry me. Which one should I marry? Are you mad? Man of God, I have 2 ladies. I'm going to choose. What is wrong with you? You don't know how to pray. Such decisions of your life, you are trusting men. Such decision, a decision, you go to the place of prayer. You bend your knees. Hi! You see, the Lord, there is a calling of God upon your life. You don't just sit down and pray. No. Such prayers are long hours prayer. See, you must come to the understanding of what you carry. You want to start up a business. It's not Father in the name of the Father and the Son. No! You must go to the place of prayer and tarry. You saw a land to open your business. You don't just come there and sprinkle anointed water. You come over that land and take charge of that land and become part of the principalities in that land. Only then can you sell. People don't come to your shop to buy because you are fine. No. It's either a good spirit is with you or a demon spirit is with you. It's either God is with you or the devil is with you. Nobody enters the shop and buy biscuits and leave. There is something that Anakazos meant to come.
Drunk in the holy way,
praise the Lord Jesus. When it comes to raising of dead people, Jesus did not fast and pray. He commanded them to get up. When it comes to healing the sick, but when it comes to making decisions in life, your husband to be, wife to be, prayer. Keeping your family is not by short prayer. If you are going to last in that marriage for 60 years, you must be willing to bend your knees. If that marriage, marriage does not work because, we are compatible. Aran nonsense. Doesn't work like that. There is a spirit that must hold the two of you. And the both of you are accountable to that deity. A spirit that can come and say, young man, you made a mistake. Go and say sorry. And you must be a slave to that spirit, or else you will not listen to that spirit. A spirit that come and meet your wife and say, madam, shut up. That is your husband. Go and say sorry. If there is no being that is in charge of your marriage, 5 years, that marriage will not see it. Important decisions, you tarry in prayer for them. I remember one time when we newly got married. Mommy was in the house reading. A spirit came. When she was reading, I've forgotten what that spirit was doing. I think it was trying to seize mommy from speaking. The mommy says she heard my voice. Said, is it leave or get out? Eh? The spirit said, leave our mind. She thought I was in the house, but I was in my office working. But she said she heard my voice in the room, in the parlor, and my voice said, leave our mind and get out of here. Aye. Someone saw my wife one time and said, he doesn't know that we are married. He said, I don't know why I'm seeing prophetic man or the face of prophetic man around you. Say, that's my husband. So in the spirit, I mark my territory. So as my wife is walking, if you look at her, you just see me. It doesn't just work like that. Prayer. So why my wife was in the house, so why mommy was in the house, studying, a spirit came to manipulate her mind. And an audible voice spoke with my voice. Of course, you know that was my angel. I was wondering why the angel was not with me in the office. I need to talk to that angel. What do you go to do for house? These are the real things I'm telling you. Pray. Some people will tell you, Kai, you're a hard man to kill. We have tried. I've seen people that they say, Kai, you would have died, but Kai, we have tried. Even when you don't feel like praying, pray. If the devil does not get you, he will get your wife. If he does not get your wife, he will get your family members. It's only with prayer can you stand. If you don't know how to pray, don't go. Don't marry. Leave marriage. Don't marry. Don't marry. If you don't know how to pray, don't marry. Just leave the woman alone. You be alone. Suffer alone. Because the moment you marry, you bring different altars into your house. And everyone wants to get a legal ground. That is the same reason you see so much divorce rates. Because there is no being that can unify them. We are not united only because we got married. We are united by one spirit. If the spirit that unites us is not the same spirit that unites you, there is a problem. I will be like an alien in that marriage. That is why before you give birth to a child, you must go to the ancient one. Come here. Father, who is coming? And he will tell you that a boy called Samuel is coming. What must I do for this boy? He said, the hair on his hair must not be cut. I hear you. Then you begin to travail for that child to come. God knows they send useless children again. No, I'm not saying the one he was sending was useless. But God is no longer in the business of sending useless children. You get why? You get why? You get why? Hey ya ya, 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 hey ya. Listen, I will teach you this one and we'll go. The series, by the grace of God, will end by next time we meet. Prayer allows you to negotiate with God. I will teach you something that will, if this thing does not allow you to succeed in life, I don't know how else to help you. I will teach you how men can negotiate with God. Give me the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Isaiah 1 verse 18. This is what the Lord says. He said, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Who is saying this? God is saying, come, let us reason together. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God is saying, come, let us reason. Isaiah 41 verse 21. Come, let us reason. I will teach you how you can pray for your loved ones. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments. There are times you have to come before God. And you see, you say, Father, I come with a case. And God will come and sit on his throne room. And you say, Father, we need to talk. Those are not the ones you just blast in tongues. No. This is this one you are coming with your case. That means you are prepared as a lawyer. I'm telling you what I do. I'm telling you what is real. It happens. This is real. The Bible says, look at what it said, present your case. It said, present your case, says the Lord, set forth your arguments. So you come before him and say, Lord, I have been faithful. I will show you a man that did it in the Bible. I will show you a man that did it, but listen first. You will come before the Lord and say, Father, I have been faithful. To my best of knowledge, I have been faithful. Father, I tithe. I give offerings. Father, I support your work. I clean the house. Father, I know I'm not praying the way I need to pray, but at least I pray. Father, I walk towards holiness. Why am I not succeeding? Call upon me and I will answer. And I will show you deep and mighty things you know nothing of. When you are done presenting that case, he will present his own case. You see, God, see, there are times God comes to us to deal with us as friends. You bring your case. You have two scriptures that backs you up. Isaiah 1 verse 18 and Isaiah 41 verse 21 that say, bring your case. So you bring your case. Hezekiah did that same thing. Let's look at the book. Give me 2 Kings verse 20. Second Kings 20 verse 1, please. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. Jesus. This is what the Lord has said. You know that when the Lord says something, you will listen. He said, this is what the Lord says. Put out. Praise the Lord. He said, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. This is God saying something. Next verse. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Watch the negotiation. Next verse. He didn't reply the prophet. The moment the prophet dropped the message, he left Hezekiah. He didn't reply him. The king didn't reply him. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with a wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He presented his case before God. Remember how good I am. Remember the good works I have done. Some of you have not presented your case before God. And with different kind of prayer. And with prayer whereby you come as a lawyer. You know God is God. But you come as a lawyer and present your request. Why should God bless you? Why should God give you a multi-million company? Why will God trust you with the healing oil? Why will God empower you? Why should you sing and power will flow? Who are you? Present your case. Your case ought to be presented. Next verse. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Next verse. Before Isaiah could pass where the king was finished, the word came. Say, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. Instantly. There are some wounds you don't just take to yourself. There are some wounds that it will hit you so hard. You go before God and table your request. Father, I have served you. Father, I have prayed. My God, I have given. I have sacrificed. I am an usher in your house. I don't have much, but I give the little I have. I have prayed for people who are sick. I have done everything possible, Lord. My business must grow. Why wouldn't he? If it does not grow, then Father, what have I done? The Lord must answer. And he might send the prophets. Hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. Somebody else did the same thing. Listen. And Abraham came and said, Father, if you find 50 righteous. He said, if I find 50 righteous, I won't destroy them. He said, if you find 40 righteous. He said, if I find 40, I won't. He said, since you have allowed me a man to speak before you, if you find 30. He said, if I see 30, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, since you have permitted me to speak, a man that knows nothing, if you find 20. He negotiated till 10. A man was negotiating with the Father. You can come before him and bring your case. A pastor was praying. A man had an accident. He was a contractor. Real life story. And the man fell into one iron like that. And he was rushed to the hospital. And the pastor began to pray. So this man appeared in heaven. He gave the testimony. He said he was in heaven. And he said he didn't want to come back. He loved heaven. So Jesus came and said, you'll be going back. He said, no, he can't go back. That nobody can make him go back. Jesus said it's not his choice. But he has to go back. He said he's not going back. He said, who can make him? He said, your pastor has not allowed you to stay. He said, no, my pastor cannot make me to come back. I will remain here. Then the Lord opened something that seems like cotton. And he saw his pastor saying, Father, I won't allow this soul to die. He has children on earth. He must take care of them. Father, this man will come back to life. He can't die. And the Lord sent that young man back as an answered prayer. Even Jesus is vulnerable. When you present your case, even the Almighty God can't resist it when you present your case. Present your case before me. Chant it. Listen, when you see us, we are saying, my altar is calling you. We are presenting a case before the Father. I heard the story that Daddy Kumuyi went to a program and said, God, because of my relationship with you, let the cripples walk. And he said, hundreds of cripples began to walk. He didn't pray. He just told God, because of my relationship with you, let the cripple walk. Abraham never prayed. It's scriptural. Abraham never prayed that God should appear before the king and warn them to leave his wife. Abraham told them, he said, Sarah is my sister, not my wife. And they took Sarah. Abraham went to her sleeping. And the Lord came on behalf of him. He said, that man you are holding his son, his wife, is a prophet. If you don't return that child, that baby. You're a baby girl now. Baby. If you don't return his baby. Because without Sarah, the future cannot be fulfilled. Say, if you don't, there are some times people will touch you, God will go for you. There was a time something happened. I will not share the full story. Something happened. And when this thing happened, this young man was sleeping. And an angel of the Lord appeared into the man's dream and warned him. He says, this young man, he was telling him about me. He said, this young man, stay away from me. And the young man woke up and said, whatever I'm holding you, I'm returning it back, I beg. Let me stay. I was sleeping and the Lord appeared. When somebody, Paleaka, I was sharing with mommy a woman that had a vision. That woman that had a vision, and the Lord showed my picture to her, and was telling her something. This woman was lamenting and praying to God, telling God, hey, this. And she said, as she was sleeping, she was in the spirit, and she saw me standing. And the Lord said, you see what you are going through? This, my servant, is going through this, and yet he remains faithful. You, who are you? And the woman woke up and called me. She didn't know about whatever challenge that was. And I said, madam, you saw correctly. You see, while you sleep, something is happening. While you are sleeping, something is happening. The day someone, you know, you don't know. Until one day someone will come and tell you, see, for 5 years I've been trying to kill you. But whenever I came to kill you, a spirit appears. You will not know that 5 years you were on fire. You thought fire is only when you are walking, your body, your blood is hot. No. Even when you are in the cold weather, the fire burns. Is this Psalm 105 verse 4? Give me Psalm 105 verse 4. Let me see something. Give me verse 5. I'm looking for where he said that he makes his angels spirits, his servant flames of fire. I said 104. Psalm 104. Can someone read for me? 104 verse 4. Verse 4. Yes, that is it. He makes winds his messenger, flames of fire his servants. Give me NLT. Then you give me King James. Listen to this. If you carry this mindset, let me see the spirit that will come and disturb you. He said, the winds are your messenger, flames of fire are your servant. Who maketh his angel spirit, his ministers, a flaming fire? I don't need to command the fire to burn. No. The Bible said that he has made me fire. Who maketh his what? His angel spirit, his ministers, a flaming fire. A flaming fire means that they are burning. So I don't need to put on my garment of fire to be on fire. There is a place for that. But naturally, as a Christian, as a servant, as a minister of God, there is this fire that burns inside of you constantly. If you know why you ought to pray, you will never stay a day without praying. Even when you don't feel like praying, you must pray. Because I want you today, while we began to pray, you will begin to negotiate your future with God. Hannah did the same thing. Hannah came before the Lord. He said, wait, let's reason. And God said, I'm here. Every time she was coming and lamenting before God. God, you don't give me child. God, you don't give me child. God, they are laughing at me. God, they are mocking. God kept silent. And Hannah came. He said, come, let's talk. And God put his ears. What do you want to offer, woman? He said, if you give me a son. She was not saying, if you give me a child. She told God what she wants. When you negotiate with God, you tell him exactly what you need. You don't leave it by faith or chance. You tell him what you want. God, give me Scotland or I die. That is a negotiation. Father, I will burn with fire. I want the dimension of the prophetic upon my life. And the Lord will ask you, why should I trust you with the prophetic? If you give me the prophetic, no week will pass by without me using that prophetic to win souls. And God will weigh it in the balance. All right, I will give you a measure. So when you are saying, my altar is calling you, when you are saying, God, remember my sacrifices, is the negotiation you have made in the spirit. Make negotiations in the spirit. For married couples that are watching me, the Lord is speaking to me about married couples. There are times in your marriage, there's someone watching me, person is listening to me. You will be in marriage. A time will come, you will be in marriage. You might look beside your wife or your husband and you might not see that thing that was once there that sparkled the both of you to fall in love. Listen to me. It takes the spirit of the Lord to know how to love. Sometimes the only prayer you need to pray is, Father, cause me to love my wife. Cause me to love my husband. Even in his bad action or her bad action, make me love her more. And the Lord will open your eyes. Because love is not a feeling but a decision. You don't feel in love. I feel like marrying you, you will suffer in that marriage. I've decided to marry you. That's why they ask you, do you accept? And you say, I do. He didn't say, do you feel like marrying Sister Nkechi? And Sister Nkechi, do you feel like, no. He said, do you accept? Because it's a decision. Same way, if you will prosper in life, you must make a decision to work hard and pray hard. There is nothing holding you. The greatest enemy of every man is himself. Do you have a case? If you don't have a case to present, some of you are searching, you don't have a case. If you don't have a case, it means you have not worked with him. If you don't have any case to present before God, you have not worked with him. That's why I tell the foundational class people, I say, go and heal the sick. Go and pray. Because the moment you are healing the sick, you are building your case. One of the favorite movies I watch is law movies. My wife will tell you that I love law movies. I'm not a barrister, I'm not a lawyer. But I love it. Because I love the way they present their cases. How they are able to just one file, they can tweak it, tweak it, tweak it. I say, brother, why are you one proof? They will twist it, twist it, twist it, twist it. Not like the Nigerian court that people will hold the Bible and swear and lie. The white men don't do that. They will say you are under oath, remember, and they will tell you the truth. And before you engage in any battle with the lawyer, you must have concrete evidences. So before you go before the Lord and say, Father, I want to bring my case. And he said, what is your case? He said, I'm a believer. You're a believer, and so? They were prophets. They were in the land. They were not just believers. They were walking with God. But a man called Elijah came and locked the heavens. And there was no rain. And the prophet cried. He said, there is a man that presented a case before me. And this man destroyed the altars of Baal. What is your case? The reason why the fire came down and consumed them was because Elijah presented the case. He said, if I be a prophet, that was the case. And God will not deny it. He was a prophet and the fire must come. Whether God likes it or not, he will answer because the case was presented. If the fire did not come, then he's not a prophet. And he said, he didn't say, Father, send down fire. He said, if I be a prophet of God, let the fire come down. God was sleeping and Elijah came and said, call the gods of the Baal. Summon your God. Let's know which God is God. And God said, why are you doing this thing, Elijah? He said, let these people know. What is your case? What is your case? Have you ever swept the church for 1 month? What is your case? How many souls have you won? What is your case? Man of God, I am called. What have you done with that calling? What is your case? You're not even faithful in tithe. What is your case? Do you have a case you can present? What is your case? You still collect bribe. What is your case? Do you have a case? If you don't have a case, keep quiet and wait for the blessings that comes to believer to come your way. You can't present a case. I put you on your feet. Listen. Listen. Let me show you. Let me help you. Because some of you have searched your heart. You don't see a case. Present the blood of Jesus as your case. Lord, a blood of a God was shed on my behalf. See, today, ask God for a prayer point. Hold that prayer point till it comes to your life. Don't stop. Hold that prayer point. Father, I want everything I carry to be on fire. Let me share you something. I won't want to share it publicly. you have, let everything you have carry that fire. Let even your mobile phone carry that fire. Let even your car carry that fire. Whatever you touch, let it be anointed. Don't limit the fire of God. Carry it. There was something Apostle Chukwu was posting online. He was posting all the great men he has met. And I came and I said, every great man that Apostle Chukwu has met, I've met them. And I said, ask me why. I said, because I've met Apostle Chukwu. Because one day he came and said, every impartation I've received all my life, I give to you. I've met men of God that have released everything they carry. Daddy Arome once prayed a prayer and said, everything I carry, I give to you. I received it. Let me tell you. What is your case? So as he was posting every man that he has met, I say, oh, I've met this man. Don't limit God. Let everything you carry, carry fire. One day I was doing my prayer section. I was in the house having my covenant hour with God. I think it's about 30 minutes. I just came out. Mommy was sitting there. And the power of God hit mommy. I didn't know. I just finished praying. I was just coming out. She just did like this. I said, what happened? Her whole body was on fire. She started praying. She went in to pray. When she came out, I asked her, what happened? She said, as you just came out, something hit me. One day, you can soak yourself and remain there. I'm sharing this with you because there is more. Anyway, more. We have not touched him. My job is to help you unlock your potentials and your destiny. Carry that fire. You will not know what you are becoming now. You will not see it. But that building that you are building now, in years to come, it will make sense. We have seen spiritual. We've seen the ones that appear physically and the ones that appear spiritually. And they will be speaking, you'll be laughing at them. There is something you know they don't know. Can we come closer to pray? Come closer. Come. Just, yeah, stay there. Come closer. Let's pray. In fact, come. Just come to the altar. Just come. I want us to pray. Then just pray here. Stay in between. Inside here. Yes. Listen, can you begin to make demands of heaven as the chant is going on? Can you begin to pray? Make demands of heaven. Make demands of heaven. That oil, that calling, that prophecy. Make demands of heaven. Present that case. Present the blood of Jesus as a case. Pray. While others are chanting, be praying. Shaka ta 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 ta. Make demands. If it's for your family, make demands. Until the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon you, don't stop. Until that fire come. Until the fire of the Holy Ghost comes, don't stop.